Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A dear fellow redeemed in Christ, today on this Holy Trinity Sunday, our focus is on something that we call Orthodox doctrine. That's just a fancy term for straight teaching or right teaching or true teaching. And the straight, right, and true teaching of the Christian church has always been this: there is but one God who exists as three distinct persons, which we often refer to as the Holy Trinity. The name of our God, the only true God, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the focus of today's sermon. For truly, wisdom teaches us, as stated in the Athanasian Creed, one cannot be saved from God's judgment unless he or she believes that God exists as unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity. And now, with that said, wisdom also teaches us that this triune God that we believe in, he cannot be fully known apart from Jesus Christ. For Jesus himself is the eternal wisdom of God incarnate. That is, Jesus himself is the eternal wisdom of God in the flesh. The Son of God, who himself is God, descended from heaven to earth and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He came down for you, for your salvation, and he has redeemed us who were lost and condemned people. He has redeemed us not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death on the cross. There he saved us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, so that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. To behold Jesus is to behold God, for truly, as Scripture declares, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Apart from Jesus, our God can be partly known, but he cannot be fully known. And this is a problem because the natural man only knows God as a lawgiver. That is, we know God in part through Moses, for truly the law was given through Moses. And again, this is a problem because God's law cannot save us. It can only accuse and condemn us, for it is summed up in this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this, the soul that sins shall die. Here, if this is all we know of God, then we think that he is against us and not for us. Here, we think that he is our foe and not our friend. For truly, who can live up to such demands? No one. Not me, and not you, not anyone ever. For truly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, none is righteous. No, not one. Here we see that we are not sinners because we sin, but rather that we sin because we are in fact sinners. This is true of all people for all time. Well, except for one. Except for Jesus. He alone is perfect. He alone has loved the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind and with all his strength. And he alone has loved his neighbor as himself. And moreover, all this that he did it not for himself, but he did it for you. He did it for you because he loves you and doesn't want you to stand condemned before God in his final judgment. In the love of Jesus for you, we see the love of God for you. In Jesus, we receive the full revelation of God. And in receiving the full revelation of God, we receive forgiveness for our sins. And in receiving God's forgiveness, we receive life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In Jesus, then, we see and know that God is for us and not against us. We see that God is our friend and not our foe. In Jesus, we see that God is our ally and not our adversary. For the scripture says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Therefore, today's meditation on the Holy Trinity is viewed through the lens of Jesus Christ, for truly the orthodox doctrine, that is, the straight, right, and true teaching regarding the Holy Trinity, cannot be understood rightly apart from Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. For in Christ we see clearly that Jesus is the eternal wisdom of God incarnate. We get a sense of what this means from today's Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 8. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon is trying to give wise counsel to his young adult sons. And knowing that young adult men are attracted to young adult women, probably more than anything else, Solomon speaks to his sons in a language that they can understand, the language of desire. Therefore, Solomon uses two women as a literary device to teach his sons to know the difference between foolishness and wisdom. These two women are objects of desire, and Solomon says, desire the right woman and have nothing to do with the wrong woman. Desire wisdom and run away from foolishness. Essentially, Solomon is saying to his sons, listen to me, heed my advice. There are two paths in this world, the path that leads to the foolish woman's house and damnation, and the path that leads to the wise woman's house and salvation. Stay off the path that leads to foolishness and death, and instead stay on the path that leads to wisdom and life. Solomon's words are a two-edged sword. They are both practical and spiritual. That is, they teach us how to both live rightly and how to believe rightly. For our intents and purposes, we will focus on the spiritual aspect of Solomon's words, for truly right living flows through right belief and not the other way around. If you get your faith right, the right living will follow. To that end, then, right doctrine, that is, right teaching, comes from the lips of the wise woman. She is none other than the bride of Christ, the church. And the word that is on her lips is none other than the word of God, Christ himself. As such, Christ and his bride are one. Christ, the Son of God, the word of God, is himself the eternal wisdom of God, who is given to the world for salvation through the proclamation of the gospel. This is that word of grace, wisdom itself, the very Word of God, who has been with the Father from eternity, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. For Solomon says of him, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Solomon shows us here that God's wisdom is a person, and that this person is God. For, says St. John in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. At this, let us reason together. Here it follows that if all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and then the Son of God, who is the Word of God and the wisdom of God, it follows that if all things were made through him, then he himself was not made. This means that regarding the Son of God, there was never a time when he was not. He has always been. He is eternal. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. But there are not three eternals, but one eternal. This is our confession. And this is what we learn from Jesus about the Holy Trinity. For Jesus is the eternal wisdom of God incarnate. To hear him, the Word of God, coming from the lips of the wise woman, the church, is to find wisdom and the path that leads to eternal life. Get this, says Solomon to his sons. Obtain this. Whoever finds wisdom, whoever finds Christ, finds life. Standing in contrast to this is the foolish woman of Proverbs chapter 5. She is portrayed as a prostitute, and the words on her lips are not truth, but lies. She speaks false doctrine, and those that follow after her go down steps that lead to hell. Solomon says of her, the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, which can be taken to mean the grave and or hell. Solomon counsels us by saying, keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. And yet, despite being warned, Christians all the time exchange the truth for lies. They leave the house of wisdom and run to the house of foolishness. St. Paul saw this coming and encouraged the young pastor Timothy to not get discouraged when he too would see this coming to pass. For Paul says to Timothy, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate teachers for themselves to suit their own passion, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This chasing after false doctrine, it's nothing new, has been going on since the beginning of time. Since Satan first tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden to eat the forbidden fruit, wherein he lied to her, saying, go ahead, eat it, you will not surely die. Jesus also in our gospel text dealt with this problem of false doctrine by calling out the false beliefs of the false teachers of the Jewish faith, the religious leaders. Essentially, Jesus said to them, "Your doctrine is false, for you say that you know God, but you reject me, his Son, whom he sent. To reject me is to reject the Father. Your path is foolishness that leads to death, that is, eternal death. But, says Jesus, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death, that is, he will never suffer eternal death in hell." To believe Jesus' word is to keep his word. And Jesus' word is this: whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. With Jesus, for us who trust in him, what we call death, he merely calls sleep. This means that for all our loved ones who have died, or rather have fallen asleep in the Lord, he will awaken them on the last day. This is our great hope, is it not? And on that day, we will see them again. On that day, every tear will be wiped away, and there will be no more pain or suffering or death, for we will forever be with the Lord and with each other. Here, Jesus gives the Jewish authorities an opportunity to repent, that is, to turn from their false beliefs and teachings and to turn to him in faith, wherein they would pass from death to life. But instead, they double down on their unbelief and challenge him by saying, "Abraham died and the prophets died. Are you greater than they? Who do you claim to be?" And with that, Jesus affirmed his eternal sonship, saying to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." Here, by claiming God's name, Yahweh, for himself, for Yahweh means I am, or I am that I am, by claiming God's name for himself, Jesus was saying, "I am God." Jesus was saying, when Moses stood before the gracious presence of God at the burning bush and asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus was saying, "It was I who replied to him. It was I who said to Moses, I am. I am the ever-present God. For me, the past, the present, and the future are all the same. Therefore, I am that I am. I am Jesus, the Christ, the eternal wisdom of God incarnate." My beloved in Christ, had our reading in Proverbs continued down to verse 35, we would have read this: "Wisdom says, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Rejoice then, for our confidence rests in this, and not so much that we have found Christ, but rather that he has found us. We are certain of this, for just as in this life, when we are born from below, we do not claim our parents, but rather they claim us. In similar fashion, when we are born from above in holy baptism of the water and the Spirit, we don't claim God, but he claims us and seals us with his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here you were placed into Christ, the very wisdom of God, and became God's children. You died with Christ and were raised to life with him. Here, by wisdom finding you, you found wisdom. And by finding wisdom, by finding Christ, the eternal wisdom of God incarnate, you found life eternal." This is good news indeed. Blessed be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity, in whom we believe, teach, and confess. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand for the prayer of the church.